from around the globe. This is Web Fiction World.
Hello, and welcome to the 9th episode of Web Fiction World. My name is Anna Hart. I'm not here with my sidekick MCM once again. I think MCM has died, or at least that's the safest assumption. Last time we looked at online fiction communities and Wattpad in particular. Wattpad's marketer Nina Lassum gave us the ins and outs on this mobile and internet fiction community. So if you're curious to learn more about Wattpad, you should give it a listen. This week, due to popular request, we'll be covering superhero fiction. We'll also have a reading, as always. But before we get to all of that, I'd like to introduce today's guest. Here with us today is Jim Zudaway, author of Legion of Nothing, which is a gripping, humorous, long-running superhero web fiction. We'll bleed his brain dry on all there is to know about superheroes. So hello, Jim. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, I'm here.
Yep. How about we have, before, you know, pulverizing your brain on all the amazing encyclopedic knowledge you have, let's just chat about you and your work first, if you're okay with that.
Sure.
You don't have some superhero alter ego that'll beat me up for making fun of you, right?
Oh, you know, you're pretty safe there. Though actually, personally, I mean, I was and have been involved in Taekwondo at points. So at least there's some level of, like, actual competence, but I never actually have punched anyone for any good reason other than sparring.
I actually have 2 years Taekwondo under my belt, so maybe we'd be kind of matched. Right, so let's leave our personal martial arts at the door and chat, be friendly for the moment. So let's talk first about your web fiction, Legion of Nothing. How did it begin? What's it about?
Okay, basically, the Legion of Nothing is about Nick Klein, basically a high schooler, at least as the story starts, who inherited his... what amounts to his grandfather's secret base, as it were, and powered armor, and an awful lot of stuff that was part of the equipment for his grandfather's team. And since he actually knows descendants of people on the team, they decide, and he is largely pushed into, actually getting the Grand Lake Heroes League going again. So that's a really general, really, really general sense of what it was, what it's about. But it gets more complicated than that, obviously, as things go on, as I as one ends up bringing in conspiracy, and also, boy, I'm trying to make this sound exciting, and also people on the team who are, for example, descended from a guy who turned against the team by the name of Red Lightning long before any of them were born. As for how it started, man, it's kind of funny because one of the things that I do other than write is play role-playing games, mm-hmm. and did a lot of role-playing games with superheroes, particularly a game called Villains and Vigilantes. And one of the amusing things about that game was that basically you kind of, you know, rolled randomly for your superpowers and went on from there. And one of my friends was way into creating characters and not actually ever playing games with these characters, which for me as a person who, like, actually likes stories... kind of drives me crazy in that, well, you know, there's no point in creating a character if you don't actually ever use them. So,
yeah.
In college, we had gone and seen The Rocketeer, and I thought, wow, it would be so cool to do a character that at least had a little touch of what was in that character, not like based on, but just had a little bit of that 1930s, 1940s pulp feel, and eventually came up with this character who inherited the equipment from his grandfather who served in World War II. So then the friend in question, then drew, did a great drawing of this character, and we never used him, ever.
And why not?
Because the friend in question just tends to, you know, for him, faking the character is fine and good enough. And the number of characters that I have created and not used is enormous. Well, I mean, it, which is fine. But for me, it's just one of those deals where, huh, the character lingered in my head. And finally, about 4 years ago, I...
Let's try to get him back.
Am I back?
Yay! Maybe.
What happened?
Your connection dropped.
Did I cut out? Great.
It's all your fault. Your superhero internet is not superhero-ish enough.
Apparently not. That sucks.
So you were saying
yeah,
you have
when
loads
I was...
of characters that you don't use?
Right, exactly. And basically, I noticed Tales of MU online. Read that for a while and noticed that basically web fiction in this particular case did not actually suck. To be honest, I mean, previous to that, my expectations of things that I found on the web to read were pretty low. And not only that, this person was actually kind of making actual money out of this. So
then you started with Legion of Nothing. But, I mean, I read on your website you didn't have any intention of continuing posting it past the first 8 chapters, right?
Yeah,
and now you're
is,
at 1 billion chapters.
Yeah, I am actually at something along the lines of, oh, man. Yeah, something really high. I mean, it's 4 years later now. So, and actually, here's a key thing that I actually ran across was something called Interviewing Leather by a guy named Eric Burns.
Mm-hmm.
And he's actually a webcomic critic, or has been, one of the better known ones. And it's basically a short story about someone interviewing a supervillain. And he just, on his website, he just kept on doing like one short story after another. And that's kind of what I was thinking, oh yeah, that sounds like a pretty good idea. But yeah, then basically I kind of never got around to stopping because I kind of had an idea for after the first initial chapter. And yeah, things kept on going.
And so, I mean, I kind of classify Legion of Nothing as almost young adult, at least at the beginning when they're in high school, like young adult superhero fiction, which you don't really see a lot of if you think about it. You know, like, well, you don't see young superheroes really a lot because like Batman, Superman, all of them are older men. So why did you pick a younger age to go with?
Well, first of all, I mean, I think there are two levels to this question. First of all, I had the original character concept, and I mean, at the time I made it, I was in college. So, first of all, at the time I created the character, I was a young adult. And rather than changing it when I was older and decided to do something with it, I kept it in large part because here's the thing. With a lot of these characters that are, you know, older superheroes, they are kind of, they've seen it all. And that's not as interesting in some ways as someone seeing this for the first time. That, and I mean, and when you're having a character that's seen it for the first time, for the 20th time, I mean, they just go into, you know, fight mode, as it were. And you have these, honestly, points where many comic books turn into, and after page whatever, it was all people punching each other. And the nice thing about younger characters is that you can stay a little bit out of superhero tropes and have them be thinking, really, do I want to go hit so-and-so, bearing in mind that he just punched through a wall? I mean, you know, you're not bored with people breaking bricks in front of you yet.
True.
And, I mean, as someone who actually did spend a certain amount of time in the martial arts, one of the things that I always thought was kind of stupid, actually, about a lot of comic books is that, you know, these people go punch each other and, you know, they're all enthusiastic about it. And the thing that I got out of the martial arts, at any rate, is basically, if you can avoid a fight, you're a much better off person than you are if you actually fight somebody. Because if you actually do fight, chances are at least one person is going to get hurt. And even better, even more likely, both of you will get hurt. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I can't say I'm injecting a whole lot of realism into these fights, you know, but what I am, but I don't know. I kind of like a perspective where they're not a, ooh, let's go beat, you know, let's hurt people. It's fun. I don't know. It's not really, it's something to be avoided. And so it's kind of nice to do something like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, just, I've always thought that with a lot of comic books, especially, I do love the fight scenes, you know, kapow, boff, bash, but just, it's always villain, beat him up. And there's never really another alternative of villain, I don't know, let's figure out a different kind of solution than throwing fists at it.
Yeah.
Is that kind of what you're aiming for?
Not all the time, because to be honest, I can't go into reading this and say, oh yeah, there's no fight scenes. Because, you know, I think about it out of like a 200 pages worth of the first series of this. I think about it and say, well, let's see how many, probably the latter third is one long, it's not one scene, but it's like a series of reasons that that combat sometimes happens. And so but at the same time, the effects, I like to think, are a little bit more than, oh, we just beat him up. It's more along the lines of, wow, I just beat him up. I hope he doesn't have a concussion and be permanently brain damaged. You know?
I mean, yeah. And you keep referencing, obviously, back to comic books, and it makes me think about the fact that, well, there isn't a lot of superhero fiction, you know, in text format. I don't particularly read much either, but the majority of the genre, I'd say, is dominated by comics. Would you agree or disagree with that?
Oh, I would totally agree. You see, that's oddly enough, or one reason this is web fiction, because basically I said when I started, well, what can I do that I'm not going to feel bad if I can never publish traditionally? Well, there's no market that I've ever heard of for superhero fiction. Absolutely zero. Except there is a book out there called Soon I Will Be Invincible, which is perhaps one of the better titles out there, I think. In any case, there's like a few things out there that aren't movie tie-ins, but not a lot. That said, on the internet, there's been superhero fiction since Usenet. There was Legion of Net.Heroes, which was one of the earlier ones, and there was also a thing called Super Guy, which was another on Usenet thing, which, oddly enough, was Eric Burns, I come back to him again, was also involved in, as was Randy Milholland, who is better known now as Something Positive.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And as was actually, I believe, if I'm correct, Jimmy Wales, you know, the guy started Wikipedia.
Really?
So, yeah, it's kind of crazy. It's an old internet thing. And, I mean, there's a surprising amount of it online.
And have you considered writing anything else, or is this the only genre that you're happy writing? Or,
you know, the thing is, I really, previous to doing this, I'd never written any superhero fiction. And to be honest, I mean, as much as I've always enjoyed comics, I've never really collected them all that much. They've always been kind of, lots of my friends like comics a lot, and it's always been, Jim, this is wonderful. You have to read this. And then I do, because I am apparently a bit of a pushover in that area and interested. And thus, I've read a lot of comics, but own, like, very, very few. And I mostly read, and previous to this, mostly wrote, science fiction of the sort where I really like the kind where people say, well, let's take this one thing, change it, change our society in some way, and what are the logical effects of that? And being the kind of guy who went off and got, you know, a degree or two in sociology, I kind of like saying, okay, well, how does technology change and affect society?
Yeah.
And so and how does that translate to what I'm writing now? Well,
yeah.
Not really very well, except that it means that I can't ignore, like, for example, take all the big superheroes. How many of them are male white?
Are, you know, what, sorry?
Are male and white.
Oh, 99%?
It is something embarrassing, I'm sure. And so,
how many of the women are just pretty much sex objects on sticks? Like, Catwoman, for example. I mean, if you've seen the Catwoman movie, it's pretty much just shots of her bum the whole time.
Like, no, see, that's
a
horrible
bum,
reviews.
But, like, she has a great bum, but, like, you know, she's a superhero. You don't see shots of, like, Superman's bum all the time.
Yeah, you know, that is very true. And the funny thing about that, actually, is DC has this new 52 that changed their publishing line entirely. And the amusing thing about the Catwoman comic, I believe it was described as by someone online as Catwoman and her boobs go on wonderful adventures. Because, yeah, I mean, I guess that basically from page one on, it's like, I saw a bit of the first few pages, and basically it was mostly a woman without shirt. So, yeah. So what that means on a personal level is basically try to include characters, have them not, like, all be white male, or in this case, white male teenagers, though when I think about it, my main character is, but not all of the people on his team are. So that's at least, I don't know.
So do you have a woman superhero in your Legion of Nothing? And if
actually, yeah, the Grand League Heroes League at this point, I think, is like 9 characters, which is probably too many if I had been thinking really hard when I did that. But, I think it's about, I think there are probably, I don't know, 5 men, 4 women, but then there's other, or maybe it's the other way around. I don't, but it's 9 characters, roughly equal there. So.
One thing we haven't discussed about Legion of Nothing is the kind of powers. I mean, obviously, the main thing about superheroes and superhero fiction is all about, well, the powers that they have. It seems to always be either they're mutants and then they have some kind of mutant power, or they're, you know, like Batman is just a normal dude and he's got some really cool technology. And what camp do you fall into?
Well, you know, for the main character, Nick Klein, basically inherited from his grandfather a suit of powered armor, which basically involves jetpack, sonic abilities, and the ability to basically take a lot of punishment and having a lot of strength. But the other characters in various ways kind of inherited their powers genetically, I'm pretty much assuming, in one way or another, which I guess kind of makes them mutants, but there's actually more to it than that, which hasn't yet been revealed in the story. So I'm not going to say it here.
Oh, you're not going to give us an exclusive spoiler?
Yeah, well, we kind of blow it for everybody. But, yeah, it's more complicated than that.
Great. Anything else that you wanted to add about Legion of Nothing or your personal work, or your, actually, I have a question. What is your superhero alter ego before we go on to the reading?
Man, I wish I had one.
That's not a really good one, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, man, sit in his chair working on the web, man. I have no clue.
Well, I think, you know, he could have cool powers like being able to magically make drinks appear on the desk from the kitchen. I'd enjoy that power.
Yeah, it's the power to accidentally delete clients' websites. No, I actually have that power, but I use it sparingly.
Oh. And how have you found, we haven't really talked about, well, publishing on web fiction. How have you found the whole experience of publishing online and, you know, reader interaction and that kind of side of things?
Well, you know, I was kind of lucky in that area. In that, I mean, I hear a lot of web fiction people complaining about the fact that they don't get any response from their readers. And while that was kind of a little true early on, I mean, I probably had 2 to 3 comments in the first several months. Currently, I mean, it's somewhere in between 10 and 20 responses a post. And often, you know, and not always from the readers who always respond, sometimes from people that I've just been like, wow, I've never seen that name before. So cool.
Yeah.
People say stuff and they get into really interesting discussions. I mean, what I find kind of interesting and kind of crazy actually is that despite the fact that my attitude toward this is, okay, forget the science, even though you like hard science fiction, forget the science. Don't ever ask yourself the question, how can a human being run at the speed of sound? What kind of body would they have to have? What would they really look like? Just assume it's a normal-looking person. Mm-hmm. As much as I do that, I have people on who are reading who are willing to calculate how strong you'd have to be to run at the speed of sound, and therefore how much strength you'd probably have. And occasionally, there was a bit in the story in which people were in a spaceship. I happened to mention how long it took to go from some point in space to another point in space. A reader pointed out the precise percent of light speed that they would have had to be going. I get this.
God, that'd make me feel incredibly stupid if I read through the comments.
Well, you know, there are some people, even in the most recent post, who someone who wrote something along the lines of, maybe we should have a separate discussion board for those, for Legion of Nothing readers with less than 100 IQ.
Oh.
And he wasn't like, he wasn't saying they should be somewhere else. He was like, clearly feeling like he personally was like, people are talking about DNA and stuff.
Yeah.
Right. One second here. Hang on. What's that tapping?
Okay. Abby, I'm sorry, but your tapping noise is being recorded. We have two computers downstairs. My daughter is at the other one, tapping away at the space bar.
That's what I thought it sounded like.
Yeah. She is currently playing Pop Tropica, which is, I guess, a very big game for 10-year-olds.
Okay. I was wondering what the hell that was.
I'll have to give it a try.
All right. Okay, we can come back in and probably should dip to break within about 5 minutes.
Well, I was going to break now.
Okay. I'll let you go back and do that.
Well, I think we've... Was there anything else you want to say, Jim, before we move on?
You know, I don't really have anything to add. I mean, I didn't come in here with an agenda. Maybe I should have.
Well, most superheroes would have, but, you know, we've already learned that you're not one of them. I'm just teasing. Right, so we'll glean all your encyclopedic knowledge about superheroes more generally after the break, but for now we're just going to have a reading. So here goes a story for your listening pleasure.
This week's reading is a chapter from The Legion of Nothing by Jim Zotowy. And this is the chapter In the Public Eye, read by Kara Dennison. Enjoy.
Putting the suit on and checking the systems took a good 10 minutes as usual. I ran down a tunnel to the exit in the middle of the forest in Veterans Memorial Park. It felt good to be in the full suit. The last time had to have been when Haley and I fought Man-Machine, almost a month ago now. The doors opened above me and I jumped, making it a good 20 feet before the rockets kicked in and took me the rest of the way into the sky. The trees went past in a blur of branches. I found myself looking down on the city lights almost before I realized it. To avoid being seen, I planned to shoot up like a ballistic missile, then fall down, using the rockets to slow myself until I landed directly in front of Hardwick House. It seemed like a better idea than flying low across half the city and being visible through anybody's window. I was wrong. Either my armor was more vulnerable to radar than I realized, or one of the heroes summoned to deal with me had fairly impressive night vision. Whatever the case, something grabbed my arms from behind at about 500 feet above the ground, pulling them together. I slowed my descent and then hovered. Twisting my head, I saw a man in a blue costume with a mask covering the upper half of his face. A missile superimposed over a circle appeared both on his chest and on his forehead, which told me who he was. According to Double V, whose RSS feed I evidently spend too much time reading, his name was Tomahawk. His powers? Flight, strength, and all-around toughness. Until 2 years ago, he used to work for the Mafia in the Northeast, particularly Boston. Then he turned informant, gave up names and evidence, and since then he'd been living on the right side of the law. Normally I'd be cheering him, but at that moment I couldn't help but wish he'd gone into the witness protection program instead. Breaking the silence, I said, "Aren't you the guy in the lot commercial?" "You looking for an autograph? Because your timing's pretty bad." "No, just curious." "You know what you ought to be curious about? Where we're going next." "Okay," I said. "Where are we going next?" "We're going to meet with a couple of guys and come to an understanding about this situation." Honestly, it sounded like he was still in the mob. Probably at that point I should have sent a distress call to the rest of the group, but I didn't. I thought I could handle the situation without help. He struck me as one of those guys who relied on his powers and didn't do any real training. For example, grabbing a guy's arms and holding them together behind his back might work on the ground, but in the air it opened up a host of problems. In my case, the only reason he hadn't tipped me, causing me to fire off in some random direction, is because I was deliberately hovering in one spot. Holding my arm straight behind me showed another lack of forethought on his part. The weaponized amplifiers on my forearms were pointed roughly at his groin. I fired them off on high power. Human soft tissue doesn't shatter like glass, but to judge from his shout, it felt at least as bad as a kick in the crotch. He let go. I flew up about 50 feet and started shouting down at him. "I didn't just punch the mayor for the fun of it. He's a telepath. He tried to break into my mind." Tomahawk rushed me. Turns out blasting someone in the groin isn't a great way to gain their trust. From there, it turned into one of those fights that the media love and insurance adjusters hate. The kind of fight I most associate with Los Angeles or New York City. You know what I mean. Two powered lunatics buzzing through the downtown, pausing only to exchange blows or plow into a wall. Downtown Grand Lake isn't busy during late fall, but there were people downtown. They got off the street as soon as they saw us. I was trying to escape most of the time, keeping my corners tight and trying to avoid hitting streetlights and power lines. Realizing after a little while that he flew a little faster than I did, I opted to stay low, guessing that as a hometown boy I'd be able to use my knowledge of the city to lose him. Unfortunately, I've got a lousy sense of direction, and even though the helmet has a GPS readout, it's hard to concentrate on it in the middle of a fight. I ended up whipping around the corner to find that the alley I hoped would lead me out of downtown actually dead-ended into the back of a 3-story brick building. As quickly as we were moving, I wouldn't have time to slow down before I hit the wall, but neither would he. I flipped over, nearly blacking out at the force of a 180-degree direction change. He flew over me, beginning to try to flip over himself. I opened up on him with the sonics as he passed above me, this time choosing the setting that creates a massive, piercing scream. I don't know whether the sonics distracted him or whether he just didn't have time to flip, but he hit the wall with his back, crashing through into the store behind. I had too much momentum to stop myself as well, but I hit the wall below the newly created hole relatively softly. I didn't go through. After lying on the ground for a moment, I stood up shakily. From the shouts and screams, I guessed that the store was open. When I managed to look in, I realized it was a lingerie shop. Tomahawk had smashed into some shelving after plowing through the wall, and now its contents lay scattered across half the room. No one else seemed to be hurt, though. I considered calling 911 in case he needed an ambulance, but then it occurred to me that it might be safer to do so from a distance. So I flew away, leaving him unconscious and covered with thongs.
That was Talkin' by Kit Caliber off of This Broken City album. You can buy this song in its full bass quality at lapfoxtracks.com.
This program is a part of the Webcast Beacon Network and is hosted on the Rampage Network. Follow us on Twitter at WebFiction Radio. Email us at webfictionworld@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail by calling 1-320-310-0922. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic news, tropes, and web fiction at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
And we're back. So, Jim, now comes the time where you remove your brain from your cranium and squeeze it dry and put all the juicy stuff on air. Yeah, I think that was a bit too explicit. Let's go on and pretend that didn't happen. So, what's your favorite superhero? Let's start there.
That is a really kind of a hard choice. I mean, I would probably, you know, somewhere in there, I mean, as a little kid, it was definitely Batman. But as an adult, I don't know if you've ever heard of a team called the Runaways.
Nope.
Okay, so concept. Basically, a bunch of teenage kids discover that their parents are supervillains. And then they've got to deal with that. It really is it was a really cool comic. Alas, it is, of course, currently canceled. But there may well be a movie.
They always cancel the good stuff.
Yeah, well, you know, that is the way it goes. And in this case, apparently the demographics, were, you know, not your standard teenage male to 30, 40-year-old comic reader. So, I don't know. The demographics somehow probably worked against them. That's what I gather. Mm. I also like Daredevil a lot.
Yeah. Why do you think people get obsessed with superheroes? I mean, obviously, it's fairly niche, but for those who are really interested in superheroes, what is it that appeals to them in the genre? You know,
that's a really good question, and I don't have a really obvious answer, but I know that as a kid at least, I mean, in many ways, it was just really, for me, just a way to, you know, watch something interesting on TV. I mean, you know, probably just very much action-oriented adventure. I mean, of course, one can go the, like, powerless nerds in their basement stereotype, where basically you have these powerful characters that can do things and affect their world in ways that a normal human being can't. And, you know, presumably people desire that. And you know, that's probably true to a degree, too. Because one nice thing about these characters is that they can affect their world. And sometimes a normal person, whether they're a kid or even an adult, you don't always feel like you're very aware of how much in life is outside of your control.
Yeah. I think, and there's that whole dream of, well, with a lot of superheroes, it's like Spider-Man, for example, or well, even your character, Nick, it's either they suddenly find something, like Nick finds or inherits the armor and the secret base, or Spider-Man gets bitten by the spider and gains these powers. It's this whole idea of you were maybe defenseless before, but something happens and then you can make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and it is nice to at least imagine that one could be a force for good, or at least a force for something in the world. I mean, that, you know, it would be nice to think that one could actually, I don't know, you go with a character like Superman and you have him preventing earthquakes, at least in the kind of Silver Age version of Superman, you have him preventing earthquakes. They've actually toned down his power since then.
Yeah. Actually, the thing I found interesting, I think Superman stands apart from all other superheroes because he's the thing that Superman is his identity. I mean, Clark Kent is his disguise, if you think about it. He was born Superman, right? And then he had the uniform, the outfit, whatever. He was wrapped up in it, or, you know. So for him, Clark Kent is his view of what humans are. Whereas, you know, if you look at Spider-Man was a normal human and then became Spider-Man.
I gotta cut in. I totally have to cut in. Hi, I'm Festworks, the producer of the Web Fiction World, as well as the Webcast Beacon Network. You're just taking that from Kill Bill, too, aren't you? Yeah. No.
I was going to say it at the end. I wanted to sound clever first. And by the way, that was totally from Kill Bill. You ruined my...
No, I'm totally calling you out.
I was trying to trick people for a second.
No, I'm calling you out on that. That's not
I had a rent. Quote, Kill Bill.
No. I'm not... Not that. The whole reasoning is kind of BS, if I may.
No, but I think it's true. Like, I seriously agree with that. Because if you look at Batman, for example, he's a normal man, and then he has all the technology. Spider-Man gets the bite. Well, I guess X-Men are born that way, but I don't really consider them superheroes.
Superman really is like that. He is that sort of... He can posture and everything as Superman because, you know, he doesn't have to hold back or anything, and, you know, Superman is still somewhat a disguise. He has a duality going. The other reason why I wanted to pop in here, because you're talking about superheroes, and me and a couple other people, we started a new series on the Webcast Beacon Network called First Issue, where we're reviewing the new 52 from DC, the new comic books, and the new Superman number one. It's the thing about the new 52. It's not a reboot; it's a relaunch. So there's some history that's still in there. So it doesn't start with Superman's origin story, and that's cool because most of us are gonna fucking know what happened. But it's.
If you think about it, where Superman comes from, his planet, everyone must be like him. No.
Actually, depends on which version of his origin story.
Well, I mean, I'm not looking at new Superman. I don't care about new version.
Like, no, they didn't have powers like that because of the red sun. It's because of Earth's yellow sun that
I'm being
out-geeked
here.
Anyway, yes, yeah, you are. You are. But you see, the thing is like if you read Superman number one from the new 52, you totally see Clark Kent, you know, Superman really is like that. He does have trouble talking with you know, expressing his real feelings to Lois Lane. He's not pretending to be how Clark Kent actually is, though sometimes he does stumble and be awkward on purpose so that he can go run and change into Superman. He acts like a coward so he can leave the scene. But
if you think about it, then he's not. Yeah, but he's still acting as a coward. And
but just for
them, other people think Clark Kent is a coward, is meek and stuff. But he isn't.
He is actually. He still is meek. I mean, because you know he's still trying to fit in, like with everybody else, and being Clark Kent. That is. I mean, it's sort of like a disguise. Yeah, but it's not so much different than when a high schooler tries to fit in by doing what everybody else does. It's not so much a disguise. It's him trying to fit in still too, and it's also that he has this secret that he has to safeguard.
True.
Unless you use the movie version where you got the brainwash kiss, but
I
can't believe you ruined my moment. I was gonna finish off with like as said in Kill Bill, and then you ruined it.
I know because I'm ruining the Kill Bill part, but. Because it's like, I disagree with that part, and that's fine. We can have a disagreement.
Well, you know, it is one of those things where there is a school of thought where basically they think that, for example, Batman's personality is a really truer expression of Bruce Wayne's personality than the fake Bruce Wayne personality is. Because he basically pretends to be a playboy, but really he's very concerned about the way Gotham City is, and that... You know, Batman as a vigilante and the gruffness and all that is really what he would prefer to be doing all the time, presumably. By contrast, some people also suggest that, yeah, as Fess was saying, that Superman's personality as Clark Kent is probably a truer expression of his actual personality than Superman is in Superman being all inspiring and everything. That perhaps Clark Kent's relative...
Hi.
Am I gone?
No, we just lost Anna for a second. Keep going.
Oh, crap.
Keep going. Go ahead.
Okay. Then that Clark Kent's more humble, relatively, I don't know, meek personality might be a better expression of Superman's.
Well, I think in any case, my quote in Kill Bill was a good thing because it generated a lot of debate.
Yes.
Right? So, which do you prefer... Fess, you might as well stay on, no?
Oh, yes, I actually wanted
MCM to. MCM's dead. We can just call you MCM, it'll be fine.
No.
No one will know.
Who do you, like, do you prefer the kind of mutant superheroes, like the ones like Spider-Man, or the ones who are like Batman or Jim's character, Nick, who have technology that boosts their powers?
Well, let me put it this way. With reading the 52, I mean, there's only 20 episodes up right now, but we basically recorded 50 and I'm still editing them. So that basically means I've read all of the new 52. So I've had a great crash course introduction to different types of superheroes. And what I learned is that there's a few different types. I mean, you got your alien sort of superhero where you can't really explain it too particularly, except that it's alien. That's just their ability. Versus like say human or like superhuman ability or meta human abilities, such as like the natural born mutants. There's also the superpower of money, AKA tech. You know, you got your cyborg, you got your Batman, you got your Green Arrow. You got that type of superpower. And then you also got like your magic or your mystical or your paranormal superpower, which there's a comic called Justice League Dark, where it's like the supernatural version of the Justice League because the regular Justice League can't handle it. And they're trying to say it's like, it's just stuff we haven't been able to explain yet. But there is obviously like, this is still part of the same universe. We just can't explain it yet because it's all supernatural. It's not like you can't have a magic universe and a science universe. It's like they say that the magic stuff is, it's just stuff you can't explain yet with science. So they're trying to, you know, shoehorn it in. So there's all these different types of superheroes. And as far as trying to pick a favorite type of one, I'm more in favor of the. At this point, you have to look at it as natural ability versus enhanced ability. You know, so it's like I could lump metahuman, mutants, aliens skill and Supernatural all into, like, one thing. Versus, say, you got some tech that you put on yourself to make you better or cooler. I usually prefer, like, this sort of, like, the natural, but if I were to break it down, I prefer more so, like, the magic or, like, I found a magic item sort of thing. So that's my really long answer.
What about you, Jim? Or which would you think is easier to write for web fiction?
Wow. Which is easier to write? Now, that's an interesting question because I write Nick, so he's always that's what I have ended up writing. But most recently, I've written a couple other characters who have the natural ability. And, you know, in some ways, you know, personalities are actually harder to write than powers. Powers are kind of like a side issue in some ways. How in the world do I sound like a teenage girl when I'm writing? That's a challenge.
Just speak several octaves higher, you'll be fine.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, that's much more of a challenge to me than to have a character that has a particular power. Because, I mean, for me, that's just one of those, like, take it as, okay, he can do X. That means all the stories. That means this is going to be harder in a story for the character. This is going to be easier. I can run with that. Personality, that matters.
That's true. I think that's probably, if we try to drop a quick list of tips for people trying to write superhero fiction, it's to remember it's not just about the powers. It's also about personality. Would you agree?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's key. I mean, that and doing a little bit of research, because, like, you know, just for example, if you were to decide, okay, I think it would be cool if my character, you know, came from, you know, Filipino background, you might want to go check out, you know, what that means.
Yep. What other, if you had to give another, or actually, let's go first to Fess, since you're the superhero uber geek here.
I'm really not.
What advice would you give to someone trying to write a superhero story? What are some good things to keep in mind?
Well, first off, the 52 is my first experience reading comic books since I was a child. And that was
ruining it.
No. I'll get into it. So I need to back it up. And when I was a kid, I only read 2 comic books ever. Otherwise, it's been like newspaper comics and web comics. So it's not like I'm a big superhero person, but it's like with to answer your question, it doesn't need to be superheroes in general for any good advice. It's like the personality is a good thing. Researching where your origin is supposed to be so you don't screw it up. Having an outline, especially for superheroes, having an outline of things that you're going to need to remember for continuity to make sure specifically how their powers work or how vague can you state their powers at the beginning to you sort of fudge some stuff in later. Make sure you keep the powers consistent. Make sure you keep. Maybe you need to like have a graph of where all your character's current, you know, baseline power level actually is. One thing that they did with the new 52, looking at Justice League number 2, they've shown that the Flash is faster than Superman. Before this, been sort of like this or that. You're not sure, you know, is because Superman's kind of OP, overpowered, so to speak. So you know, you got to have some sort of like you got to make sure that that's another thing for superhero things. You got to make sure you have a decent weakness for them.
Yeah.
Something that can be exploited. Something that they're going to be gonna have to have on their mind to make sure that you know. Their secret doesn't get out that their weakness is that they're allergic to nuts or something like that. You know, you can have like a silly thing too.
See,
but
you know, that would actually be fun. Why don't they ever do that? Have a character that is allergic to nuts or something relatively normal.
You have like the villain be like nut man, and he just throws nuts at people.
Maybe that's why.
That could be. I mean, you can go the serious route. You can go the sort of fun route. And it's all that's, you know, there's a give and take. There's a lot of options on there. I'd recommend if you are going to parody an existing sort of superhero, go with that parody. You can try to play it straight, but sometimes the parodies are really fun. Just be mindful of not being that where people are going to look at it and see, like, you're totally ripping that off. Versus you're doing a parody and it's freaking hilarious, but you're not straight out ripping them off sort of thing. You know, you try to be as original as you can, but then again, there's like so many freaking powers out there, it's hard to be like absolutely original. So there's like a lot to think about. Don't just come up like, I'm going to have a character like this. And, you know, you actually, you know, put in some thought into it. In my webcomic, PSI, it's somewhat related because I do have a sort of, I have a magic user in that, and it's not a superhero comic really at all. Mm-hmm. But there's magic and there's magical items. And so there's things that I need to keep track. There's some things I have retconned, to be honest, mm-hmm. just to make things work. Because I started my comic not knowing what the hell I was doing, and just go, that's a cool idea, I'm going to do that, that's a cool idea, I'm going to do that. And then I got to a point where I'm actually, like, really writing, like, this sort of epic story for whatever. And I begin to realize, like, how much I really should have just spent some time thinking about certain aspects before I actually implemented them, and this is why it's relative, because I am using magic, that it's an important thing to know.
Anyone there?
The limits of your, yes, hello?
Hello.
I hear you. Oh, he went away. Well, it's important to know your your world rules and how things work for basic consistency is what I'm saying. And we're going to try to get Jim back in just a moment here.
I have, in the meanwhile, while we're waiting.
Go ahead.
I've come up with my tip is to have, obviously to reference my excellent Nutman example, is to have a good villain. Because there's so many times you've got, you know, really cool superheroes. And okay, yes, they have a weakness, like their power runs out or they need to like plug themselves into a socket every 2 hours. But if there's no villain to challenge them, there's no point in actually, well, having a superhero in the first place, I think, because the superhero has to have someone to fight. That's part of who they are.
Well, you could always do an ironic story.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, I was just talking about the basic.
True.
Well, you could have, like, a story of a superhero who's just really lonely and has nothing to do.
Right.
You know, he uses his laser eyes to make toast.
Yeah, there's I think they call that like a superhero deconstruction, mm-hmm. like the lazy superhero. I think there was a comic in the 90s where this superhero, quote unquote superhero. Well, it's this guy that had superpowers, and he just didn't really do anything. He just kind of, you know, just kind of was the slob couch potato sort of thing. I never seen, what was that one movie with Fresh Prince? I forget his name.
Oh, brother.
That superhero movie he was in.
Is this before my time?
No, this is relatively recent.
I forget his name. I forget the actor's name now, and that's really dumb. But he basically plays this sort of like, well, he's this homeless guy. He has like super strength, and he can fly. You know, sort of like your generic.
Oh, he's like a rubbish superhero as well, isn't he? And he gets the marketing guy on board.
Yes.
No.
That is exactly it.
Yeah.
Is it like Will Smith or something stupid?
Yeah, Will Smith. Yes. And I didn't see that, but I really liked the concept of a sort of like
Hancock.
I liked the concept
Hancock
better than the movie.
Well, I didn't see the movie, so I can't say to that. But you know
it
things
was
like
pretty
that,
rubbish.
Where you can step aside from like your typical superhero sort of setup, and I think those, it's like if you try to think of like, you can try to think of some situations that are just different, just a different situation.
Yeah.
And those can be really, really interesting, but those are also a lot more challenging.
But I mean, if you think about, for example, the Hancock, because Jim, what you missed while you were offline was I said having a good villain is possibly a key factor as well in writing superhero fiction. In Hancock, he is the villain as well. He's the superhero, but by being a rubbish superhero, he's also a villain because he tries to stop a train and he like kills three people because he accidentally puts the train down on three cars. So he's the destruction and the savior at the same time.
See,
so you could read it that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the thing is, with that particular movie, in some ways at least, then you end up doing some sort of like much more character focused movie as opposed to an actual movie or a story that's typical for superheroes, in which is basically you have an external protagonist, external antagonist, and the solution to the problem is taking them out. The unfortunate thing about that is sometimes people try to do the non-standard thing and then don't do it very well.
Yeah. Great. I think I only have one question left on my list, and it's one for Jim. Be prepared. So, since I have to hands in the air, the only superhero fiction web fiction I've read is your work, Jim. So, who else, what other web fiction authors or stories would you recommend for the superhero fanatic out there?
Well, I mean, the ones I am most excited about is, like, for Robert Rogers' The Last Skull, I've liked a lot, which is basically, concept is that a girl whose mother died or disappeared discovers that her mother was, in fact, a superhero, and in fact that she comes from a family where there's a kind of a long line of them. The funny thing from my point of view is that there's a big similarity in some ways to Legion of Nothing and that, but, you know, totally unintentional because he'd had the idea separately. Similarly, there's, in terms of a totally different kind of thing, I would look up Worm. It is a story in which, again, I guess a teenage girl discovers that she has superpowers, attempts to become a superhero, but on the first time out, ends up taking out a big supervillain, but she becomes friends with some other criminals that that supervillain was going to hurt. And as she is in a situation where she's very unhappy at school, has very few friends, the criminals, the supervillains that she gets to know, become more her friends. And her ultimate intention is to kind of bring them to justice. But as the story is going on, she basically is trying to decide, you know, whether that's the best thing or, you know, these are basically the only friends she has. And does she want to rob banks for a living, as it were, or does she want to turn them in? It's better than I've just described it. But the cool thing is that there's a lot of character depth there, and there's more going on than simply, shall we say, oh, look, there's a bad guy. Let's take him out. You know? And, I mean, of course, one of the better-known ones, and it's totally unfinished, is Star Harbor Nights. But Star Harbor Nights is by Alexandra Aaron. Mostly she focuses on Tales of Mew. And yep. She hasn't updated Star Harbor Nights in probably 2 years. So that one's pretty much dead.
Yep. Awesome. Well, I'll have to give... I think Worm sounds quite interesting. I'll have to give that a look into. I've run out of questions. Does your brain have any juice left? Any last tips, advice, thoughts, comments?
Wow. Do I have any less tips, advice? Man. See, I'll just leave you with this thought. One of the things that's extremely interesting by comparing webcomics and web fiction is that with webcomics, it's all totally indie stuff. Absolutely, very, very, very few superhero comics until relatively recently, when there are beginning to be a few. By contrast, I find it amusing that web fiction, basically, practically from the beginning of the internet, there's been web fiction about superheroes. And it's kind of strange to me that it's as large a piece of the web fiction community as it is.
All right. And Fess, anything, any more geeky thoughts to share?
No? Well, I can share that the Webcast Beacon Network is having a giveaway for the 4th anniversary special of the Webcomic Beacon podcast, which people can go to webcastbeacon.com/giveaway for information on how they can enter to win one of several comic books that have been submitted to us for giveaway. Not really web fiction related, of course, but it's still something that anybody can get on. So go ahead and check that out. And also check out the First Issue video review series at firstissue.webcomicbeacon.com.
All right, perfect. Great. So I think we've said everything that needs to be said. Thank you, Fess, for stepping in for my dead co-host today. thanks also to Jim for joining us and sharing your thoughts. It's been a pleasure getting to know about you and your work. Before you go back to playing Pop Tropica, any last words of wisdom?
You already asked that.
I know, but I can babble incoherently.
It's always curious to see if there's anything else. No?
Oh, right, man.
Last question. 10 3-foot trolls or 1 10-foot troll? Which would you rather fight? Go.
I think I'd go with one. Fighting multiple opponents is harder.
Yeah, but if they're like only 3 foot, you could probably like squash them.
Depends on how tough the troll is.
True, right. Well, maybe you can get some superhero powers and melt them all. I don't know.
Well, then it's good. See, the thing is, from my point of view, basically, if you've got one opponent, you can get in your car, drive away, run away. Doesn't matter. If you've got three, sure, they might corner you in an alley.
Right. Well, hopefully the trolls won't return to our next show because you won't have killed them properly. But that's the end of our show today. Next time is a surprise topic because I haven't had the time to think about it. If you have any ideas or suggestions for future podcasts, please don't hesitate to drop us a line at webfictionworld@gmail.com. We're also looking for new excerpts for readings. So if you're an author looking for people to read your work aloud, or if you're someone who has a beautiful voice who would like to be on air, do get in touch as well. Thanks again to our guest Jim and everyone tuning in. My name is Anna Hart, and you've been listening to Web Fiction World. Until our next show, keep reading, keep typing.